Wow, so good. Man, this place is so special. And let's thank God for Pastor Greg and Pastor Bobby. Wow, wow, wow. This does not happen by accident, and I'm going to tell you. It's intentional. It's people intentionally seeking God, intentionally engaging, and watching what God does. Pastors, thank you so much for having me here. I'm humbled. We've been trying to pull this off for years, and when I was a senior pastor, it was just hard to get away. And so we stepped out of the pastorate at the end of the year last year, and so we're full-time traveling now, so please pray for us that God would open the right doors and that I could be somewhere like Destiny every single weekend. Wow. If I preached in this kind of environment every weekend, I would be like Billy Graham, but with a prayer language. Come on, somebody. Amen. And on earth, still alive. That would be important too, wouldn't it? Well, my wife Beth and I and our three boys and our daughter-in-law and our six-pound chihuahua, we greet you. It's just a privilege. Just a privilege. Her name is Allie, and she's just a mess. And so if you follow me on social media, you'll see her picture a lot. She's something. So, well, if you got your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 3. If you got your Bibles or your phones, tablets, Acts chapter 3. And I'm talking to you today how to move from watching to walking. How to move from watching to walking. If you'll stand on your feet, we'll read God's word together. If you don't mind standing one more time. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Trace. Acts 3. You ready? Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Christ, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now take your hands and place them on your Bible or your phone or your iPad, whatever you're reading. Let's pray together. Father, right now, Lord, there's so many people in here, and I believe that you want to speak to them. And I just have enough audacious faith to believe that you'd want to use me. But Lord, I know that there is no way naturally that I can speak to them. There's cultural bias, language bias, intellectual bias. It's impossible with men. But with God, nothing is impossible. So I'm believing you now, Father, to use the foolishness of preaching to touch to every heart, every mind, every life, that you would break barriers, that you would break obstacles to the word, that, Father, you would lift blindness, that you would come right now and speak a word into every heart. We believe you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap and you can be seated. I know you can't tell now by looking at my figure, but when I was growing up, I was an athlete. How many athletes are in the room? How many of you remember you were better than you really were? All right, that's me. And so I played a lot of ball, played a lot of football, played some baseball, played a little basketball, ran a little track, all those kind of things. And when I was in elementary school, I got to play a lot because I was pretty good and I was mean as a rattlesnake. Can you believe that? And now I just unleashed that on the devil. All right. But when I got to be middle school, something happened. All of my peers grew, and I didn't. And so I graduated from high school, and I was about 5'5", 5'6", something like that. I'm 6 feet now. But honestly, I grew a ton between 18 and 22 or so. It's really unusual. I was your classic late bloomer. And so I still tried out, and I still made the team. I think some of it was because the coaches felt like they owed me because of my good looks. I'm kind of kidding. And but I just sat there all the time and watched. I never played anymore. I was a watcher, not a player. And see, I knew I had this sense of significance in me, even as a little boy, that I was not meant to watch, I was meant to play. That there were giftings and destinies, significance inside me that I was meant to play. But the only thing I ever got to play was tailback. Every time I stood up, my coach would say, "Taylor, get your tail back on the bench." Amen. Now, I know some of you were offended by that, and your religious spirit was offended. So please, email me. I want to hear from you. GregBall@yahoo.com. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not correct. PastorGregBall@yahoo.com. But I knew that I was meant to be significant. Can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you? There's a problem in the American and the Western church. Is that instead of us being the activated, gifted, released, significant body of Christ, we're a room full of watchers, not room full of walkers. And I want to tell you something. You were meant to walk this thing out, not watch it being played out. And see, I take blame for it, me and pastor types, not the two that are here, but other pastor types around the world, because we said to you, we have the degrees and we have the microphones and we can talk and you can't, so you sit still and watch us perform and come in every week and bring your check and watch us perform. And I want to tell you something, there's a new reformation coming to the church, and the reformation is of ordinary, normal people that will do extraordinary, supernatural things out of the atmosphere of faith in their lives. And we have a classic picture here, because all of us struggle with this, classic picture in the scripture of someone who went to church every single day. The only problem was is that he was paralyzed and lame, and he never walked out what he saw and what he heard. And today's the day for you to make the shift that you're not just going to hear the word, you're going to become a doer of the word. You're going to fulfill James chapter 1 in your life after today as never before, because the word of God will bring power into your life. And everything that you saw us do up here, you can do. You got the same Holy Ghost inside of you. You don't need to wait for a diploma or a degree or someone to recognize you from heaven. You got God recognizing you from heaven, so you can move with the power of God on your life. And I don't care if you're a little boy or a little girl, if you're 99 and a half, there's no limit to what God can do through someone who will let him be supernaturally natural through them and move in their life. Here's the big idea today, is that an encounter with Jesus, a fresh, living encounter with Jesus, will move you from watching to walking. Now, we don't know about the lame man. We know that he was put out there daily for years. We don't know if Jesus ever saw him, if Jesus walked by. We don't know anything about that. But this is just weeks since the day of Pentecost. And Peter and John go to the temple, and this man started the day watching, but he ended the day walking. That's my declaration for you on February the 7th. Today's the 17th, right? That you're going to start the day watching, but end the day walking. So let's look at a few principles today. I'm going to give you a few points. Number one, you ready? Number one, encounters happen. Every big idea is going to happen with the phrase, encounters happen. Encounters happen to people in relationship. Encounters happen with relationship. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, just the very beginning, "Now Peter and John went up together." Together. Together is a word that's easy to say but hard to do, isn't it? We live isolated, lonely lives today. And modern Christians, many modern Christians, listen to this, this is going to be strong. Ask for the Holy Ghost to give you strength to receive this right now. You ready? Many of us will not have encounters because we cannot get along with other people. Peter and John went up together. And I know you're thinking, well, they were so much alike. No, out of the apostles, there were not any that were any more different. Peter was the talker. John was the leaner. Peter spoke, John loved. Matter of fact, remember in John chapter 20 and 21 when Jesus restores Peter? And Peter, first thing he says is, "What about him?" And Jesus basically says, this is the Eddie paraphrase, you ready? "None ya." What is it to you? That's what he says to him. What is it to you? And see, we've got to be a people that we learn how to move from tolerating people to celebrating people. If we're going to have encounters with God, we have to understand who he is and what he's doing. Listen. Jesus is not in the truth business. He's in the people business. And some of you got born again and you thought it put you in the truth business, and so you went around correcting everybody. But I want you to understand something. The Bible says that truth is settled in heaven forever. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So he's not calling us to be truth detectors. He's calling us to be love walkers. And if you can't love people that are in the body of Christ next to you, people that go to the church with you, then you're never going to have an encounter with the power of God. Because the power encounter is the demonstration of the love of God more than anything else. It's not parlor tricks that happen in this room. It's the love of God moving through people on earth so that heaven comes to earth and so people on earth can sense the love and glory and majesty of heaven and step into the grace of God that will change their life forever. Let me say this to you. Y'all have just preached me to death and we just got started. I want you to understand something. Now listen to me. If you can't get along with Alice and you can't get along with Bob and you can't get along with Charlie, there is a common denominator in this equation. And math doesn't have emotions. It's you, sweetheart. And I'm going to tell you something. Today's the day to repent. Today's the day to say, Jesus, pour your love on me. Because some of us have enough love to go to heaven, but we don't have enough love to bring heaven to earth. And it's time. If I want to have a powerful encounter, I've got to learn how to love people. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. This is not the day for long-ranger Christianity. Some of you say, well, Pastor Eddie, I'm just like Elijah. I'm an Old Testament prophet. Well, I'm going to announce something to you. The Old Testament is over. Jesus has come. There's no long-rangers in the New Testament. There's a lot of tontos walking this thing out together in the power of Jesus' name. Three of us agree with that. Hallelujah. See, now watch. Let me give you two illustrations to see this because I want you to understand this. We as Christians are called the body of Christ. The body. Listen, for the last few years, I've been talking to Pastor Bobby off and on, but yesterday or earlier this week, I started texting Pastor Greg. I didn't really know what he looked like. And then I went and checked him out on Facebook. I said, yeah, I know that guy. I've seen him, I think. Somebody famous. So, what happens when I got here yesterday, if I looked at him and I said, man, I love your voice, but I don't like your body. How many know this would be my one and only appearance at Destiny Church? Amen. Hey, listen, that's what a lot of you have done. You say, I love the love of Jesus, I love the voice of Jesus, but I don't love the body of Jesus. Just look around the room. This is the body of Jesus, and it's not just in this room. She's meeting all over the world today. And see, if we're going to have an encounter, we've got to learn to love what he loves. Number two, you ready? You ready? 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 Number two illustrations, we're still number one. Number two illustration is, I have known Pastor Bobby at camp and so many of you and your children. It's just been phenomenal. But what if when I got here yesterday and after I met Greg, Pastor Greg, I thought, man, I really like Pastor Greg. And as we were coming back from the restaurant last night, I leaned over to him and said, dude, you're the best. You know, now that I've been around her a little bit, I don't like Bobby. Now watch, because the church is not only the body of Christ, it's also the wife of Christ. And some of you said you want him, but you don't want his wife. I'm telling you something. Again, if I told him that, this would be my one and only appearance at Destiny Church. And some of you said, listen, you got enough faith to go to heaven, but you don't have enough faith for encounter because he loves his body and he loves his bride. And he's going to bring power to his body and his bride, and he wants to use you to do it. Amen. Number two, you ready? Encounter not only happens in relationship, but encounter also happens in routine. It says Peter and John went up to the temple at the ninth hour, which was the hour of prayer, which indicates that they went there at a regular appointment with the Lord. In other words, they had a daily devotional time. They opened up the Word. They had a quiet time. They had a whatever you want to call it. Now, don't you understand something? Listen. Salvation comes in an instant, but maturity is grown over a lifetime. Champions understand that what you do regularly becomes part of your process. You see, you don't win championships on Sunday. You win championships Monday through Saturday. And it's by doing the regular, the right thing over and over and over again that you establish patterns of devotion. See, listen. Patterns of discipline become patterns of devotion when you do them over and over again. How many know I don't just brush my teeth because I like them and want to keep them? I brush my teeth because I want to be close to Beth. See, listen, I draw near to his word because I want him to draw near to me. And see, there's some of you in the room that you want to have a prophetic word, you want to have a power encounter, but you won't make any time to get to the written word. And my friend, if you love the word, you love it written and prophetically. So I want to ask you, do you love the Word of God? Are you making time? I'm not telling you because you have to. I'm telling you because you get to. Do you know how many precious saints before us have died trying to get this Bible to people in their own language? You know that it wasn't too long ago that the body of Christ had to sit and have this written, proclaimed to them in Latin, and no one got it. But thanks be to God, now we can hear it in our own language. Well, some of you don't understand Georgian, but I'm working on it. All right. The Word of God. Listen, here's what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me a few years ago, Eddie, if you'll be ordinary, I'll be extraordinary. If you'll do what you can do, I'll do what only I can do. If you'll be natural, I'll be supernatural through you. If you will get up and get before me and love my word and spend time with my word, then you'll be able to recognize my whisper when I whisper in your ears. Some of you have heard the Lord speaking and you thought it was the devil because you didn't know the word of God. And I want you to understand something. The day of that's over. For God to use us the way he wants to, we want to position ourselves in his presence and in his word and with his people on routine and in relationship so that we will be people that will have encounter when Jesus comes by. You realize that when Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, that the disciples were telling Bartimaeus to sit down and be quiet, but Jesus was telling him to come forward. I don't want to be part of the body of Christ that's telling a generation to sit down when Jesus is telling them to stand up. That if I can hear him in the sanctuary, I can hear him in my house. Number three, encounter happens in relationship. Encounter happens in routine. Encounter happens with a need. Encounter happens with a need. How many people you reckon walk past that lame guy? How many spirit-filled people from the day of Pentecost you reckon walk by him day after day? Many of us don't see miracles because we don't put ourselves in a place where miracles are needed. People ask me all the time, Pastor Eddie, how come we don't see miracles around the world here in America like we do around the world? The reports we're getting from China, the reports we're getting from here and there, and I'm saying, well, first of all, I do see miracles in America. And secondly, it's because they have made Jesus their source, and many of us make many other things our source. But we have got to step into the need. You understand in the story of the Good Samaritan is that all the religious people passed by on the other side of the street, and the Samaritan stepped into the need. You say, Pastor, I don't have the time, and I don't have what it takes. Let me tell you something. How many of us quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? How many of us quote, if God is for us, who can be against us? How many of us quote the word of God when it pertains to us, but we don't have faith to apply the word of God to need in someone else? And I'm going to tell you something. Genesis 12 gives us a promise and a blessing that was to Abraham that's for us too. I have blessed you to make you a... You'll have encounter when you give away what God's giving you. When you step into need. My boys are so funny because they know that when we go out to eat or we go to a restaurant, many times it's longer than what we schedule for. They said, Mom and Dad, now they're having it happen to them too now that they're ministers. You must have something on your forehead that says, tell me your problems. Tell me your life story. When my boys were way younger, they would start whispering to Beth in the line at Walmart, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. It's funny because we've all done it. But can I ask you to put some margin in your schedule? Make a little room so that Jesus can show up. Don't let Pastor Greg and Pastor Bobby and the elders and the small group leaders have all the fun. Don't let them be the walkers while you're the watchers. Step in and let Jesus activate the fire that's inside of you to pour out on people around you. You've got the stuff, and quit listening to the lie that says you can't. Jesus will do more through you when you step into the people that he loves. When we love what he loves, we will do what he does. Encounter. Encounter also happens not only with need, not only with relationship, with routine, but encounter happens with expectation. Now watch this, because there's two point of views of expectation right here in verses 4 through 6. There's the expectation of the lame man. He wasn't ashamed to say he needed something. There's some of you in here today, and you need to get honest with your small group leaders. You need to get honest with your friends, honest with your family, honest with your pastors, and honest with yourself and admit that you need something today. Some of you today are sick and tired of watching, and you know you were meant for more, and you're ready to step into God's best for you. But then Peter and John also had expectation. They had an expectation that Jesus Christ was enough. that he was able to meet people at their point of need, and that they were conduits for his love. They weren't wrapped up in navel-gazing, and staring at themselves and thinking about what they couldn't do. Well, I'm just a little guy. I'm just an old guy. I'm just an old woman. I'm just a widow. I'm just a divorcee. Listen, it's time that we quit identifying with the worst moment of our lives and start identifying with the best moment in eternity. You are a born-again, Spirit-filled saint of God. And you've got to have an expectation that Jesus is going to flow through you, that Jesus is going to do something. I'm going to say something right now that's going to shock you and rock you. You ready? I move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because I want to. I want you to get this now before you pick up some rocks and meet me out in the parking lot. The Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we're to have an earnest expectation, a desire to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm open. How many of you know if I was open to women, I'd still be single? Come on, I don't just open, I expect. I believe, I want God to flow through me. And you've got to want God to flow through you. You have an expectation. Some of you say, well, I'm waiting on God. No, you are not. Quit saying that's a lie. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Let me ask you something. What else is he going to do? He has already ordained his people Israel, his covenant people. He has already raised up out of them Messiah Emmanuel, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, who was buried and on the third day was rose again and ascended to the right hand of God and sent the Holy Ghost. And he used saints of old to compile the scripture. He sent his word, his people, his son, and his scripture. What else do you want him to do? You've got to put an expectation on this thing that God can use you. Yes, little old you. I expect when I get before people. I expect when I'm at Walmart. I expect when I'm at the car wash. I expect that when I'm everywhere, God can use me. And I make room for him to use me. I eagerly desire him to use me. I have encounter. You can have encounter when you expect. When you walk it out in routine. When you're in relationship. And when you step into needs. Now, finally, you ready? Last one is this. Encounter with Jesus that transforms you from a watcher to a walker happens with risk. See, I learned something a long time ago that you spell faith R-I-S-K. That you step out, that you take a chance, that you do what you believe he's saying, even if you don't see the results. Now, faith is the evidence of things and things not seen. Things not seen. Faith has the ability to call the invisible to possible. Faith has the ability to call the impossible possible and to love the unlovely. And you have to be willing to step into it. When you don't have a strong word, you can have an inner witness of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. Now, I want you to understand something. You step out, and sometimes in the natural, it seems like it's a failure. Two or three years ago at YX, I just learned this story yesterday. This blessed my heart. Two or three years ago at YX on Monday night, I stepped up like I did today and started calling out words of knowledge as the Lord gave them to me. And I said, there's someone here that God wants to heal a crushed fingernail, and no one raised their hand. I thought, doggone it, I'm a false prophet. I thought maybe they would pelt me with coconuts after service or something. But I didn't notice that the youth group from Destiny Church was fidgeting, making signs to each other. And after service, or maybe during service, I don't know, they fuzzed out. But they called because down in Haiti, Destiny Ball had busted her finger. And the physicians told her that maybe her fingernail would never grow back. So we just sent a word. I think somebody pulled me aside and told me. We prayed for her. And then Pastor Bobby brought her the next day and we prayed for her. She had fingernail growth by Friday. Come on, somebody. What I thought was a miss, God said was a hit. And I want to tell you something. Just because you think you've missed it before, that doesn't mean that you have. because we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is a day to step into risk. This is a day to walk out relationship. This is a day to have an encounter with Him that meets needs. And it happens by people that are willing to step into it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand on your feet because I want us to all have an encounter right now. Maybe you've been here your entire life. Maybe this is your first Sunday here. If you're a guest here, I want to encourage you to keep coming. It will be worse next week. Amen. I'm not talking about the sermon. I'm talking about all the good stuff up here. Amen. The sermon will be much, much, much better. But you see the key there in verse 6. The key is we only have encounter because of Jesus Christ. We only have encounter because of Jesus Christ. Listen, why can we have relationship? Don't you understand something? How many know that human beings left alone will go to war every single time? We can have relationship with people because God Almighty became a person. The only reason we can have relationship is because Jesus died to heal broken relationships. He brought down the dividing wall between people and between God and man. We can do routine because God left the splendors of heaven in Jesus Christ and stepped into the ordinary of earth. Let me tell you something. When you're willing to do the mundane, He will do the extraordinary. We can step into needs because when we were the neediest, when humanity was the neediest, when we couldn't keep the covenants that He had given us, He Himself became the way maker and the covenant keeper and fulfilled every covenant flawlessly and then died on the cross to pay for it. God, He knows everything, but let me tell you something. He died on the cross believing that you would receive Him, but today there will be people that will enter into a Christless eternity not receiving Him, but He still died for you. And I don't want you to be one of those people that would enter into a Christless eternity without Him. So maybe you're here today and you've never taken the first step. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him to come into your heart and your life and forgive you and wash you and give you a fresh start in this new kingdom with this new king. See, listen, the Bible is very clear in John chapter 3 that unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And some of you now look at me. I want you to be just as honest with yourself as you can, honest with God. If you're really honest, you maybe have been in church your whole life, and you just, a lot of times in the car on the way home, shake your head and say, I don't get this. Can I say this to you? You will never get it by the natural. You will only receive it by the Spirit. Marvel not, King James says, you must be born again. So if you're here today and say, Pastor Eddie, I want to have an encounter, can I say to you, you need to have the first encounter. If that's you, I want you real boldly right now to just lift your hands. I need to be born again. Is there anyone here? Ushers, help me looking around. Is there anyone who says, I need to be born again? I need to be born again. I'm not born again. My pastor doesn't know. My parents don't know. I'm a good person. But if I'm being really honest, I've never been born again. Is there anyone? There was one or two at the first service. Amen. Won't you know there's no condemnation? We love you. We want you to receive Christ. Secondly, there's some of you here that you've been born again, but if you're really honest, you've never had the initial power encounter of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've never moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've watched other people and you said, oh, I wish I was like them. Today's your day. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to just throw your hands up right now. I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I need an encounter with Jesus. I see hands all over the room. Praise God. I want to be baptized. And I'm not afraid of tongues or any other gift. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a third group of people. And here's the third group of people. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit in the past. But Pastor Eddie, if I'm being honest with you, I need a fresh encounter. I don't want to tell stories about yesterday. You know, that's how denominations are born. Denominations are movements that quit moving. I want to have an encounter with Jesus today. I need a fresh encounter. I'm not saying you're in sin. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm saying you say your heart bears witness this word that you need an encounter today. I want you to real quickly raise your hands. I need an encounter today. I need an encounter today. So many hands. Praise God. Praise God. Here's what I want you to do. I want the elders, the ministry team to come up front again. The elders, the ministry team to come up front. Spouses to just turn. Yep. Amen. Amen. We are wearing these folks out today. Glory to God. It's good, isn't it? Now, if you raise your hand in any of those things, I'm going to ask the team to lead us in worship. And I don't want you to wait 1 second. I want you to come up here right now and then tell them what you need. Tell them you need to be born again. Tell them you need baptized in the Holy Spirit. Tell them you need a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't wait 1 second, okay? The team's going to lead us in worship, and I want you to come and receive ministry right now. You ready? In the name of Jesus, it's the Lord who calls you and not a man. In the name of Jesus, I want you to come right now from all over the room. Just begin to press in. Press in to receive. Press in for a fresh encounter. Come on, come on, come on. Anybody can do it. You're right. And so I want you, if you feel called to preach, to come right here, right now. Right here, right now. I know, I just, as sure as I'm breathing, I believe there's someone who feels called to preach. I can miss it, but I believe I'm not. All right. I also have a word for Gail. While somebody, hey, come. I want you to come. That's where you sit. That's right. Just wait right here. It's so funny. I was putting this in my phone, and so I wasn't paying attention when you started talking and did the. So it's going to sound like I'm just telling you what you were saying to them. The Lord's going to lift you up. He's really going to lift you, and it's not something that you're going to have to fight and struggle. I mean, there's going to be discipline in it, but I sense almost like a wind coming up under you and carrying you to the next level. And there's some things of fatigue, and there's some things of warfare that you've been going through, and the Lord's breaking those things off today, and today is the day that He's promoting you, and He's lifting you up, and He's giving you a new vantage point to see some things in the Spirit. And from that vantage point, He's going to use you to help flow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.